The Tunguska Event, 100 Years Later, presented by Science at NASA. June 30th, 2008. The year is 1908, and it's just after 7 in the morning. A man is sitting on the front porch of a trading post in Siberia. Little does he know, in a few moments, he will be hurled from his chair, and the heat will be so intense he will feel as though his shirt is on fire. That's how the Tunguska event felt 40 miles from ground zero. Today, June 30th, 2008, is the 100th anniversary of that ferocious impact near the Tunguska River in remote Siberia, and after 100 years, scientists are still talking about it. If you want to start a conversation with anyone in the asteroid business, all you have to say is Tunguska, says Don Yeomans, manager of the Near Earth Object Office at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. It is the only entry of a large meteoroid we have in the modern era, with first-hand accounts. While the impact occurred in 1908, the first scientific expedition to the area would have to wait for 19 years. In 1921, Leonid Kulik, the chief curator for the meteorite collection of the St. Petersburg Museum, led an expedition to Tunguska. But the harsh conditions of the Siberian outback thwarted his team's attempt to reach the area of the blast. In 1927, a new expedition, again led by Kulik, finally reached its goal. At first, locals were reluctant to tell Kulik about the event, says Yeomans. They believed the blast was a visitation by the god Ogdi, who had cursed the area by smashing trees and killing animals. While testimonials may have at first been difficult to obtain, there is plenty of evidence lying around. 800 square miles of remote forest had been ripped asunder. 80 million trees were on their sides, lying in a radial pattern. Those trees acted as markers, pointing directly away from the explosion's epicenter, says Yeomans. Later, when the team arrived at Ground Zero, they found the trees there standing upright, but their limbs and bark had been stripped away. They looked like a forest of telephone poles. Such debranching requires fast-moving shockwaves that break off a tree's branches before the branches can transfer the impact momentum to the tree's stem. 37 years after the Tunguska blast, branchless trees would be found again at the site of another massive explosion in Hiroshima, Japan. Kulik's expeditions, he traveled to Tunguska on 3 separate occasions, did finally get some of the locals to talk. One was the man based at the Venera trading post who witnessed the heat blast as he was launched a few yards from his chair. Here is his account. Suddenly, in the north sky, the sky was split in two, and high above the forest, the entire northern part of the sky appeared covered with fire. At that moment, there was a bang in the sky and a mighty crash. The crash was followed by a noise like stones falling from the sky, or of guns firing. The earth trembled. The massive explosion packed a wallop. The resulting seismic shockwave registered with sensitive barometers as far away as England. Dense clouds formed over the region at high altitudes, which reflected sunlight from beyond the horizon. Night skies glowed, and reports came in that people who lived as far away as Asia could read newspapers outdoors as late as midnight. Locally, hundreds of reindeer, the livelihood of local herders, were killed. But there is no direct evidence that any person perished in the blast. A century later, some scientists still debate the causes and come up with different scenarios that could have caused the explosion, says Yeomans. But the generally agreed-upon theory is that, on the morning of June 30, 1908, a big space rock, about 120 feet across, entered the atmosphere of Siberia and then detonated in the sky. It is estimated the asteroid entered Earth's atmosphere traveling at a speed of about 33,500 miles per hour. During its quick plunge, the 220 million pound space rock heated the air surrounding it to 45,000 degrees Fahrenheit. At 7:17 a.m. local Siberia time, at a height of about 28,000 feet, the combination of pressure and heat caused the asteroid to fragment and annihilate itself, producing a fireball and releasing energy equivalent to about 185 Hiroshima bombs. That is why there is no impact crater, says Yeomans. The great majority of the asteroid was consumed by the explosion. Yeomans and his colleagues at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory's Near Earth Object Office are tasked with plotting the orbits of present-day comets and asteroids that cross Earth's path and could be potentially hazardous to our planet. Yeomans estimates that, on average, a Tunguska-sized asteroid will enter Earth's atmosphere once every 300 years. From a scientific point of view, I think about Tunguska all the time, he admits. Putting it all in perspective, however, the thought of another Tunguska does not keep me up at night. This story was presented by Science at NASA and read by Tony Phillips. To find more Science at NASA stories on the internet, please visit science.nasa.gov.